This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Israeli troops are stationed along the border with Gaza in preparation for a ground invasion of the enclave. CBS's Tony DeCoppel got a look at how the troops are preparing.
Deep in the desert, Israeli infantry are preparing for the biggest battle of their lifetime. This urban warfare training center was built to simulate conditions inside Gaza.
We never done something like this.
And Lieutenant Colonel Matzi Slevak is the man responsible for readying soldiers to hunt Hamas.
Some will hide in the tunnels. Some will hide inside civilian houses. And some will come to fight to die because they want to be shahidim.
Martyrs.
White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre spoke out against anti-Semitism Tuesday, the day after a Democratic congressman criticized her for being, quote, weak on the issue.
When Jews are targeted because of their beliefs or their identity, when Israel is singled out because of anti-Jewish hatred, that is anti-Semitism. And that is unacceptable.
Louisiana Republican Congressman Mike Johnson has been nominated to be Speaker of the House, says CBS's Skylar Henry.
Johnson is the fourth Republican Speaker nominee in 3 weeks, the second nominee of the day.
Minnesota Congressman Tom Emmer won the most votes from Republicans to become House Speaker nominee Tuesday morning. And by Tuesday afternoon, his candidacy was scuttled after former President Donald Trump posted on social media slamming Emmer as a rhino.
A vote on Johnson's nomination could come on Wednesday. The CDC is sounding the alarm about a crisis in health care, says CBS's Alexander Tin on the Health Watch.
In a new campaign this fall, CDC officials are stepping up their call for health systems to take steps now to address what they say is a crisis in burnout across the healthcare industry. After new survey results released by the CDC found health workers are reporting growing challenges on the job.
The off-duty Alaska Airlines pilot who's accused of trying to shut down the engines on a plane mid-flight is also now facing 83 counts of attempted murder. CBS's Chris Van Cleve says the man told police he'd taken psychedelic mushrooms about 2 days before the incident.
Alaska says he showed no visible signs of impairment before boarding that Sunday night flight and had passed all of his FAA-required medical certifications throughout his more than 20-year pilot career, and that includes regular evaluations for mental health.
And NHL players will be allowed to use pride tape this season. The league and the players' union have agreed to give players the option to represent social causes with stick tape during warm-ups, practices, and games. This is CBS News.
If you need to hire, you need Indeed, because Indeed's all-in-one hiring solution helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. State Attorney General Josh Call is joining a federal lawsuit to sue the social media company Meta. Call joins attorneys general from 42 other states in the lawsuit. The coalition alleges that Meta knowingly designed and launched addictive features on Instagram and Facebook. They say that the social media platforms help fuel a youth mental health crisis across the nation. The coalition says they are also investigating the social media app TikTok for similar reasons. A joint committee of the Wisconsin Assembly and Senate held a hearing on a number of amendments to the state constitution Tuesday that cover voting. One of them would add a voter photo ID requirement to the document. Most voters already have to show a photo ID to vote in Wisconsin. Another proposed amendment would ban the use of private money or equipment to administer elections. Two of the amendments, if passed by the legislature, would go before voters during next year's elections. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Giannis to remain in Milwaukee. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks have signed their star player, Giannis Antetokounmpo, to a 3-year contract extension worth $186 million. The Bucks getting ready for their season opener against the 76ers at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee. Giannis says he's not 100% ready after having surgery on his left knee this summer.
He's not there yet, because last year I had one of the best starts in my career, but I felt like I was still rusty.
NFL, the Packers host the Vikings Sunday. Minnesota with a 22-17 14 win over the 49ers last night. I asked Packers running back Aaron Jones on why Green Bay was able to score 17 points in the second half after zero in the first in their loss to the Broncos.
As you see in the second half, I feel like we picked up some confidence, got things rolling, and you can see it out there, guys having fun and just enjoying being out there, not pressing. I feel like in the first half, we weren't moving the ball, putting points on the board. Guys were pressing.
That's Packers running back Aaron Jones. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers, even a thunderstorm in the overnight. We'll see plenty of clouds, 54 degrees by daybreak. South winds developing. Some of the rain will be locally heavy. Early showers for Wednesday will give way to mostly cloudy skies, north winds, and a high of 61. Right now, it's 55.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. From Lake Wissota State Park and the Pablo Center, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown, 93.5 The Tap. From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Matinair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin on this Tuesday, October 24th. Greg Bach is on the board. I'm joined in studio by Dominic Salvia. How are you, my friend?
I'm great, Jane. Always a pleasure to join you on the radio.
Great to have you in. You're going to be doing double duty with Devil's Advocates later on this afternoon from 4 to 6 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Lots of things coming up this morning. We're going to be recombobulating with Dan Schaefer at 10:30. Dan is a huge Bucks fan. I'm sure he's going to want to talk about, oh, this little extension thing that dropped about Giannis Antetokounmpo, which is really good news.
That's great news. Yeah, I mean, preseason just got done. The real season starts, what, tomorrow? Thursday.
Thursday.
So great timing.
Yeah, definitely. But first, I just want to start off with, there was a shooting last night at Kennedy Middle School in Germantown. The gunman was shot and killed. They got reports about 6:30 yesterday of a person acting erratically in the parking lot of the school. The person then got onto the roof, and two officers pursued on foot. The suspect then shot at the officers on the roof. They returned fire, and the suspect sustained injuries. He died at the scene. So we don't know many more details about this gunman at this time. There were, even though this was last evening, there were about 50 to 70 students inside the school, but they were all reunited with their parents at a different elementary school in Germantown. No other injuries. No one else was hurt. Kennedy Middle School, along with the rest of the Germantown School District, they will have the day off today. So just wanted to give an update about that. Again, we don't know very much about this gunman. And that's the term I use. I don't like calling them shooters. I think it's inaccurate. And I think it makes it sound like a video game. He used a gun. He's a gunman.
Terrible.
So, yes. And then again, fortunately, no one else was hurt. And I'm sure we will learn more about this probably by tomorrow when more details come out. We wanted to start, though. There's a bill being considered, Dominic, called the Sore Loser Bill. And what that means is that candidates who lose a partisan primary in Wisconsin would not be allowed to mount a write-in campaign during the general election. So write-in campaigns don't happen a lot in Wisconsin, but still some candidates do attempt that. In fact, Dominic, strangely enough, in the 2022 general, there were two write-in campaigns targeting Republican lawmakers.
For not being MAGA enough.
Apparently so. So the biggest case that comes to mind is when political newcomer Adam Steen endorsed by the former president, came within just 300 votes.
So close.
Of defeating the popcorn king himself, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. Steen and his supporters, this is from WPR, hoping to remove him because he did not support decertifying the 2020 election, which, by the way, election experts say you can't do that.
So we want it done anyway.
Yeah.
We're just, mega.
Just do it. Just do what I want. Do what I say. So after he lost in the primary, Steen launched a write-in campaign as a Republican. He did grab about 2,100 votes from Voss in the fall general. Democrat Joel Jacobson also ran a write-in and got about 3,500 votes. Robin Voss obviously still won with 16,977 votes, almost 73% of the total.
All right, so Adam Steen ran against Voss in the primary, came within 300 votes.
Yes.
Then ran again in the general as an independent and got stopped.
And got stopped.
So Voss, apparently concerned about this for the future, decides that this is something they want to pursue. I mean, obviously, the electorate rejected Adam Steen.
Not by much.
Well, not in the primary.
Not in the primary.
Not in the right. But certainly in the general.
Well, and it obviously made them, some people, nervous that you can continue on with as a write-in candidate. The bill does have one Democratic co-sponsor, Representative Sylvia Ortiz-Velez of Milwaukee. She did not comment in this article in WPR. But it just to me is so indicative of Wisconsin Republicans. If things don't go our way, we're just going to change the rules.
Do you think they get the, I'll call it irony, maybe hypocrisy, given the fact that many of the megas are sore losers, and they're the ones saying falsely that this election was stolen and yada, yada, yada. Hell, 7 of the 9 Republicans running for the U.S. House of Representatives, Speaker of the House, voted to not certify the 2020 election. Right. I mean, talk about sore losers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they know all about it. I'm not surprised the Republicans brought forth this bill.
It doesn't surprise me either. It really doesn't.
If there's an expert on sore losers, it's the megas.
They know personally. And I don't think they have a definition of hypocrisy. I don't think they get it.
They don't understand hypocrisy, irony, satire. And I'm not being funny either. They do not understand it.
I think you need to have shame in order to get any of those things, or at least some of them. You know, and there's very little shame in that party.
Oh, absolutely. They embrace it.
They embrace the lack of shame.
You
pack it into a little ball, yeah, and you shove it down your throat, and you keep it way, way down there, and you coat it over with lots of booze and liquor, and it's all good. No shame.
No shame.
No shame.
A life without shame, what a great way to go through life.
Isn't it, though?
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. This just makes me laugh. It does. And, I mean, it would have to go to Governor Evers, right, to get signed into law.
Yeah.
Where do you think he would come down on this?
I don't know if he'll veto it. It's not at this point, not a sexy enough bill, but I could see him just rolling those Oplander eyes hard and going, I guess I'll
give him one.
Yeah.
Let him have it.
But the other side is, I mean, are the Democrats, wanting this? Is this something that, I mean, no, this law is in effect in other states. It's not, it's not uncommon that this would happen.
Right.
I guess I get it. But if we look at the examples that WPR points out, Steen and this other guy, after they lost their primary, as close as they were, they got stomped in the general anyway. So,
right.
I mean, this is something out there to fix a problem that's not really a problem. And are the Dems even down? And who really cares? I mean, if you run, and again, the other side too, versus a partisan primary versus an open primary, these kinds of things would also perhaps have an effect on that. If that's the case, then what about open primary? I mean,
right.
There's lots of things to talk about in this, not just, well, man, I didn't like Adam Steen coming after me, so this is what we're going to do now. You still won the election.
Dom, why would you expect them to think about this?
And I think you make an excellent point in saying creating a law for a problem that does not exist.
Yeah.
They spend a lot of time on that.
Which we did for voter ID, mm-hmm. which they're doing now for the trans athletes. I mean, like, this is textbook GOP, like, scare people and then say, we're going to take care of this, when really there was never a scare in the first place.
Yeah, when it actually wasn't that big of a problem. We are talking about a proposed bill in Wisconsin that is called the Sore Loser Bill. So candidates who lose partisan primaries in Wisconsin would not be allowed to mount a write-in campaign during the general election. I would call this Don't Challenge the Popcorn King law.
UW-Madison political science professor Barry Burden said this: I do wonder if this is coming from Republicans in part because of a concern that there might be candidates who splinter off from the Republican Party if Trump is the nominee next year. He noted, unlike Wisconsin, most states banned losing primary candidates from running in general elections. So if that's the case, all right, so it's not uncommon, as mentioned, but certainly the situation we find ourselves in 2024 with Donald Trump, you know, four times indicted, 91 charges, leading the Republicans. There might be some of those Republicans that decide if Trump's the guy that they're going to, but they still want to serve their community. They still want to do the thing, but they don't want to do it under the mega party. I mean, that could be also, I think it's a great point by Professor Burden.
Definitely. We have a text from the 541. If you watch the TV show Madam Secretary, season two included the sitting president losing the GOP primary and then running as an independent in the general. The candidate had to overcome sore loser laws in order to run as an independent. Also, is it surprising at all that the GOP is proposing the sore loser law that could be used to prevent Trump from running as a write-in?
I mean, that's, oh, man, was that smart of them? Oh.
844-967-2789 from the 414. Sore loser bill legislation to keep those who are sore because they almost lost to a primary challenger from being challenged again in the real election. Just more Republican expansion of the vote, obviously. Yes, I'm being sarcastic. That's Jack from Merrimack.
Yeah, that's what the Republicans are known for.
We love Jack.
Republicans known for expanding the vote.
Yes. They want to make it easier for everyone to cast their ballot.
Hey, you two, listen to me right now. Yeah. Brian Schimming is working really hard with Wisconsin GOP to make sure everyone can mail in vote, because that's close to the heart of the Republican Party now.
Which is so priceless. And I keep seeing Youngkin from, is it Virginia or West Virginia? Glenn Youngkin, who is the governor, pushing early voting. Got to bank those votes, people. Got to bank those votes.
I think the damage done by Trump when he encouraged folks not to do that.
Yes.
And claim that there was fraud. And that's going to cause them damage for some time.
Absolutely. And they pounded that so hard. Drop boxes are evil and easily corrupted.
Let alone, the fact we've used drop boxes in the state for years and wasn't a problem then, and up until a sore loser like Donald Trump realized the headwinds he was facing, given the economic disaster we were in, the way he handled the pandemic, and Trump just generally being Trump. There were some bad times there. So what did they do? Well, he was laying down that seed corn for a long time. And I remember one time specifically talking about, hey, let's get every registered voter, let's mail them the ballot, and they can do it if they want.
Right.
Remember, this is a pandemic. People are very concerned. Milwaukee only had two polling places open, for crying out loud.
People waited in line for hours.
My wife and I, they shrunk the polling places down to five, and we waited in line for about an hour and a half. But here's the great thing, is everyone was on board.
Yeah.
They knew it. Everyone knew what the GOP was trying to do. And they're like, you know what? You're not going to keep us from voting. We'll wait.
Yeah.
We're cool. It's fine.
And a boss out there in a total PPE gear from head to toe, looking like he's coming to, take out ET. It's totally safe to vote.
Oh. All right. We're going to break. 844-967-2789. If you want to call and or text, stay with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. But now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
And now I find,
now I've changed my mind, I'll open up the doors.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
The RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Todd Alba Show.
What makes our society great is that we can believe in something bigger than ourselves. Doesn't matter whether it's a soccer team or whether it's a political movement or whether it's a public school, whether it's a neighborhood PTA, a bake sale. It's about interacting with our friends and neighbors and making our communities better for having come together around a common cause.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the 93.5 The Tap. Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
I'm a loser. I'm a loser. And I'm not what I appear to be. Of all the love I have won or have lost, there is one love I should never have crossed. She was a girl in a million, my friend. I should
have. Good morning and welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin, 10:21 on this Tuesday in October. Greg Bach is on the board, Dominic Salvia in studio with me. He, of course, is also co-host of Devil's Advocates across the Civic Media Radio Network every weekday from 4 to 6 p.m. along with Mike Crute. Coming up at 10:33 after the bottom of the hour news, we're going to recombobulate with Dan Schaefer and probably talk about the real good news the Bucks got, that Giannis Antetokounmpo has signed, what, an extension, Dom, for 3 years?
3 years, yes.
3 years. So Giannis isn't going anywhere. And we'll kick that around with Dan when he joins us. Right now, though, we were just talking about the sore loser bill that has been proposed in the Wisconsin legislature, which would prevent people, candidates who lose in a partisan primary to then run in the general as a write-in candidate. And if you still want to check in on that at 844-967-2789, from the 262, Voss and his PPP money of $297,000. He never had to repay. Life is good.
Yeah, good stuff.
When you're the popcorn king.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm as a business owner.
Yes.
My business did take in PPP money as well.
Okay.
And we didn't have to pay it either because we went through the necessary steps for forgiveness. So, well, I that one always gets me because there are a lot of businesses out there who took in PPP money.
True. No, no, but then you can't rail against the socialism. You know what I mean?
Well, no.
It's not the fact that people took the money. Hell, man, we were in a tough spot for a long time because of this. So, I don't begrudge anyone taking advantage of the programs that we decide as a country to implement. That's why they're there. That's why we do them. That's right. The point. But when you take it and then turn around and say,
socialism!
And the debt and all this stuff, or student loans or whatever it is, it kind of comes in hollow.
Well, again, there's that word hypocrisy.
They don't know that word either.
I know. So we're going to move on to a different king, the cheese king of Congress, none other than Wisconsin's own Representative Derek Van Orden.
Who? Did you designate him the cheese king?
I did not designate him the cheese king.
Okay.
Apparently he did this himself. Now this is from an opinion piece in the Cap Times from John Nichols. He says the Minnesota native announced he planned on being the cheese king of
Congress. You can't give yourself a nickname, T-Bone. I'm just telling you. Not no. Possible. Not cool.
No.
That's not how it works.
One, you can't do that. And two, why? Like, what's his point?
Well, he was going to represent farmers, and he's going to represent dairy farmers.
Oh, how is he doing on that?
Not good.
Okay, good. Thanks for the update.
Not good. Last week, again, this is in the Cap Times, Wisconsin Farmers Union President Darren Van Ruden ripped Van Orden for his record of prioritizing the wealthy and big corporations.
Hmm.
Oh, stop.
Come on.
Republicans never do that. Von Ruden, who is, the Wisconsin Farmers Union president, is a third-generation dairy farmer and did not mince words. Quote, Wisconsin's farmers need a champion more than ever. So far, Van Orden has failed to deliver anything other than empty slogans. Dairy farmers like me are still waiting to see the results of his self-appointed royalty. Despite being a member of the House Ag Committee, which writes the farm bill, Van Orden is not listening.
Yeah, because he's in Israel right now.
Is he do we know where he is?
I think he's still there.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's still there.
Because don't forget, he took off last Thursday when they're still trying to get a Speaker of the House and decided to do this on his own.
Oh,
and
hell of a way to represent the 3rd Congressional District.
On his own, yes. On our dime.
Yes. Well, and his district has a lot of dairy farmers. And it's kind of shocking when you look at the numbers. 50 years ago in the 70s, Wisconsin had 50,000 dairy farms. 10 years ago, it had dropped to 11,000. Today, we have 6,116 dairy farms in Wisconsin.
Wow.
That's shocking.
That is shocking. I wonder what the number is for, you know, head of cattle or number of cows or number of pigs. Like, although the farms, you know, numerically have declined.
Right.
You know, these CAFOs, these huge feeding operations.
Yes.
Got, you know, thousands of animals. That's the other statistic I'd really like to know about.
Well, and that's a big concern in some areas of rural Wisconsin, these CAFOs and all the manure and all the other...
So much manure, man.
What do you do when you have 5,000 cows?
Yeah,
it's got to go somewhere. It will be interesting to see. And again, Dan Orton posted something yesterday. I believe it was yesterday on... You know, they suffered a terrible loss, which is they lost their daughter, one of their daughters to cancer, which is a terrible thing.
Oh, Van Orton personally, his family. Okay,
yes. Yeah. So they've had a really difficult year.
Sure.
And I don't think anyone is gleeful or, you know, that he had to suffer this terrible emotional loss. But at the same time, you need to serve your constituents.
Yeah.
That's kind of the whole point of being elected.
You know, and people react to traumatic, terrible situations in different ways.
Absolutely.
And I would, there's a couple ways you can look at it, embrace it, become more empathetic, perhaps, to other people, knowing life is short, you know, situation, yada, yada. But that doesn't seem to be how Derek Van Orden handles his pain, his grief. He lashes out at teenagers.
Yes.
Over and over and over again. I mean, he does not have a great track record of managing his temper.
Bill from Oconomowoc, real quickly, Bill. We only got about a minute left. What did you want to say?
Hey, Bill.
I'm Van Orden, and I'm sorry to hear about his child. And maybe this is the right way to address it. Maybe because of this trip to Israel, which makes no sense to anybody, he needs to take a leave of absence for a while to collect his thoughts in a nice way.
Yeah. I think.
And the thing is, he maybe this insanity that he's had around him lately, maybe was a bell that he was using to deal with what was going on personally.
Well, yeah, we don't know, Bill. Thank you so much for the call, Bill. Always appreciate it when you check in. Stick around when we come back. Dan Schaefer will be here so we can recombobulate bottom of the hour news coming up next. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You're listening on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I realize I have left it too late. And so it's true, pride comes before a fall. I'm telling you.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. There's increasing pressure on world leaders to persuade Hamas to release its hostages. Moran Aloni's family was kidnapped.
It has been 18 days and 10 hours since I last heard from my sister Sharon, when her last text message was, "Help, we're dying."
Just hours after House Republicans nominated Congressman Tom Emmer for Speaker yesterday, he withdrew from the race, says CBS's Nicole Killian.
He garnered 128 votes in a secret ballot, although more than 30 lawmakers voted for other candidates, including former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy.
Actor Richard Roundtree has died. He was best known for his starring role in the Shaft movies.
Don't jive me. We put in a lot of street time together.
You know, that was a long time back. I don't know you no more.
A lot of hard years, man. Kind you don't forget.
Roundtree died of pancreatic cancer. He was 81. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehow. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know.
The State Justice Department and the Federal Trade Commission is taking action against a Rhinelander car dealership. They allege that both current and former owners of the Rhinelander Auto Center charged hundreds or even thousands of dollars of illegal junk fees. They also say the dealership discriminated against Native American customers by charging them even higher fees. They want the dealership to immediately stop charging the junk fees and return $1 million to customers as refunds. The head of the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is quitting less than a year after taking the job. Acting Secretary Adam Payne lists a number of family-related reasons in a letter he sent to Governor Evers on Friday. Payne is stepping down after the state Senate fired four of Evers' appointees to the DNR's policy board last week. Senators never took up Payne's own appointment in January. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers, even a thunderstorm in the overnight. We'll see plenty of clouds, 54 degrees by daybreak. South winds developing. Some of the rain will be locally heavy. Early showers for Wednesday will give way to mostly cloudy skies, north winds, and a high of 61. Right now, it's 55.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5, The Tap.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Tell a friend what's on tap. There's a new station in town with conversation about Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Or whenever you want, from anywhere, for free.
Wisconsin, 10:33, Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bryant. Tomorrow, Kristen will be joining us at this time with a little check-in from home on baby Francis, and so I hope you will join us for that. Right now, though, Greg Bach is on the board, Dominic Salvia in studio with me, and joining us every Tuesday at this time from the recombobulation area, it's Dan Schaefer. Good morning. You must be pretty happy.
Hey, Dan.
It's a pretty good morning in the city of Milwaukee. If you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan, that's for sure. I'm enjoying my day today. How about you guys?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah.
This is great news. So Giannis kind of alluded to the fact that he signed a deal on Twitter, right?
Yeah, he. You know, a lot of people like to break those big NBA news stories, but Giannis decided to jump the line and break his own story that he was going to be signing an extension to stay in Milwaukee for another 3 years after the end of his contract, which will put him, I think, in Milwaukee through if he plays every year in that contract through the 2028 season. That's pretty remarkable. Giannis is amazing, and he's committed to Milwaukee for the long term. And now we are going to be able to have the opportunity to watch Giannis Antetokounmpo and Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez go out there and compete for a championship because the season starts in 2 days.
I know. Thursday night. Who are they playing on Thursday?
They got a home game against Philadelphia 76ers. Always a fun matchup.
Sweet.
There. Yeah.
Sweet. What do you think? I mean, it's hard to say this is going to be the year. We're gonna do it again. But it's got to feel pretty good going into the season knowing that our core guys are locked in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it, you know, Giannis making this decision now before the season starts sure eliminates any skepticism and, and weird media narratives that always seem to emerge about any player playing in a small market. You know, now he gets to put those to rest just as he did, you know, a couple years ago, right before they went on to win a champion. You know, they traded for a new point guard in 2020 with Jrue Holiday. Giannis signed the deal, and then they went on to win the finals. This year, they traded for a new point guard with Damian Lillard. He signed the extension to stay in Milwaukee. Maybe that leads to another championship. Who knows? I have every reason to be optimistic right now.
Dan, I saw the headlines saying that the extension could be worth up to $186 million. What's the variable?
I think the last year of the contract is a player option. So it, you know, a lot of these NBA players like to give themselves a little flexibility at the end of that contract. You know, kind of what Giannis is doing now is eliminating that player option and signing the extension. So it's kind of the thing. If he plays every year of that contract, that will be the value of it.
Gotcha.
But oftentimes it will be, you know, an extension on top of an extension. Everybody wants to sign Giannis. So you know, the Bucks have the inside track and keeping him, of course. So
it just makes me really happy, though. As you pointed out, Dan, we're a small market compared to a lot of the other teams. And he picked us.
Oh, yeah. She feels so special.
I do. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Well, I think, you know, we have this mentality as Milwaukee sports fans. We've seen so many players come through the city and you know, maybe use it as a launching pad to a different contract, different career somewhere else, what have you. But to have Giannis in this era in the NBA where superstars are jumping teams all the time, to have Giannis really buck the trend.
Oh, we see what I did there, Greg.
That one's for you, buddy.
Buck the trend to stay in Milwaukee and remain loyal to the team that he came up with is pretty remarkable.
It really is. Dan Schaefer is our guest. He is the founder of the Recombobulation Area that has won many, many, many Milwaukee Press Club awards, and I highly encourage you to subscribe. And we're just talking about the fact that Giannis Antetokounmpo has signed an extension for another 3 years. Was there any concern, Dan, when and I'm gonna forget his name, the assistant coach who stepped down,
Terry Stotts,
right after Damian Lillard signed, essentially, was that a sign of friction, or do we know what happened with that?
I mean, it was definitely a weird story. My friend Eric Name, who's the beat reporter over at The Athletic, wrote a story about how there was kind of a falling out between the new head coach, Adrian Griffin, and assistant coach Terry Stotts. And I think Stotts had been a head coach for a really long time. And I think it was 9 years in Portland that he was the head coach there. And it seemed like he was having a little trouble adjusting to being back in the assistant role. He kind of was approaching the huddle and the players like he was still, you know, the main guy running the show. And I think there was a little bit pushback from Griffin on that. But, you know, obviously no concerns for, you know, making Giannis unhappy with it or anything like that. So inks the deal. And now we're ready to go into the season.
All right. Well, go Bucks Thursday night home game.
Are you going, Dan?
I might. I don't have tickets yet, but I now I'm getting excited. Now I'm looking at this. Looking at that secondary market to see if I can find myself a deal to get in the building on Thursday.
All right. Well, I hope you get in there because I know how much you enjoy it. Let's move on to jobs. And Wisconsin's doing pretty well as far as having people employed, correct?
Yeah. So, you know, when I was in the business news press, I worked at Biz Times Milwaukee for a couple of years, and I worked at the Milwaukee Business Journal for a couple of years. And a lot of times what we did then, and this was, you know, early 2010s, mid 2010s, what have you, we talked a lot about jobs numbers. And this was especially during the Obama years when people were really worried about those jobs numbers at coming out of the Great Recession. And it was always a story when the, you know, when the
jobs
Department
numbers,
of Workforce Development
on Thursdays
would release those job numbers. And so they released those job numbers last Thursday. I didn't see stories anywhere, but hardly anyone covers this news anymore. But what we found was that Wisconsin just hit a record high number of jobs for the third consecutive month.
Wow.
And the unemployment in the state remains near historic lows at 3.1%. Labor force participation rate is going up. The number of people employed in the state of Wisconsin is going up. This is really, really good jobs news, and it is totally flying under the radar. And I think we need to, you know, focus on, you know, everybody in the media likes to write the story about when things are going wrong. You don't write the story about when the plane is landing safely.
Right.
Right. So I think we need to focus on this a little bit more because I think it's a pretty big deal.
It is. And it's so interesting that you pointed that out because I know exactly what you're talking about when the numbers would always be released on Thursdays. And that was always a big thing. And I just think sometimes now, Dan, even though it was probably the same 5 years ago, there's just so much news. There's so many things happening nationally, internationally, locally, that you just kind of, things get missed.
Yeah. And so this report comes out last Thursday. You know, I saw maybe one story covering it, but that certainly wouldn't have been the case back in, you know, 2012, 2013, when I was writing these stories at Biz Times. And I think, you know, the fact that we have, I'm reading from the release here, almost 35,000 more jobs in the state of Wisconsin than we did a year ago. That's a pretty good thing. And I think if we can keep this momentum going, you know, we're going to continue to build a pretty strong economy and under Governor Tony Evers and President Joe Biden. And if this were happening in a Republican economy, you would see Wisconsin manufacturers, commerce lobbyists, all the MMAC lobbyists, they would be doing cartwheels down Wisconsin Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, celebrating these jobs numbers, and not a whisper from any of them.
Well,
and it really just goes to show you what some of those folks actually stand for.
Is it because the Democrats aren't good at messaging then? Because honestly, like, is that, or is it maybe the fact that no matter when we try to talk about the economy, whether it's jobs or unemployment or whatever, people just tend to go, nah. Because we had somebody on like about a month or two ago talking about the economy, and they said, if you look at everything with the economy with regard to the recession, with inflation, jobs, the economy is and has been doing really well, but because we're just so used to saying "ugh, the economy," we think it's bad. And jobs, and people always have a, well, you go, if you're talking about jobs, you got to take into consideration X, Y, and Z. Like, it's almost like it, no one ever believes it or cares or trusts it.
I think that's a great point, and I think, you know, the Republicans have, for whatever reason, done better on messaging on this issue. And I think, but I think part of it is a media narrative too. And I think there are so many good macroeconomic indicators for where the economy is right now. Inflation is lower here than it is in other developed countries. We're making progress past where projections were back pre-pandemic. Like, there are a lot of good, really macroeconomic factors, but I think there is still so many issues in this country where that doesn't always translate to, you know, growth in the economy for working people as well. And I think, you know, you look at certain things like the higher interest rates for people who might want to, you know, buy a home or something like that. There's always certain different levels of challenges there. But I think the fact that we are on such stable ground in a macro sense in the economy, and we have these numbers in Wisconsin. Like, I remember when Scott Walker was governor, if we had any data like this, yes! every single Republican would put out a press release, yes. and he would do a press conference, and they would be everywhere blanketing the airwaves with this good news. And in Wisconsin, and right now in Wisconsin with this type of news, we're just not seeing it the same.
You make such a good point, though. You really do. What was it? What was it that Scooter promised?
250,000 jobs.
Yeah, 250,000 yes. jobs that never happened. And you're absolutely right, though. Good heavens, there would be billboards up all over Wisconsin if a Republican
open
administration.
Open for business. Yes. It's working. Vote for me. I'll set you free.
Look at these numbers.
Free market capitalism rules in Wisconsin. Of course, Scott Walker never met that goal.
Not even close.
Not even close. And I think to the point of to your point, Dan, about how good things are on a macro basis, the fact that the biggest complaint we have, or at least we hear about people, is these rising interest rates. Well, that's because the Fed's trying to battle a heated economy. You know, that this is the tools that they have. They're willfully pushing these rates up to try to tamp down the economy. I mean, yes, that's bad in the sense for people that are especially, you know, new to the homeowner market, trying to buy things. And the other side of that, a lot of people have really good rates that maybe they refied a few years ago, and now they might be open to moving, but they're kind of stuck because they don't want to give up that great rate.
Right.
But we're not talking about is the unemployment rate. We're not talking about a recession. I mean, so when the worst that can happen is we're focusing on Republicans focus on high interest rates. Well, they're glossing over everything else.
And I think, you know, the hope is that those interest rates will go down over the course of the next year too, and start to ease that pressure as inflation continues to subside and things like that. So I think there's some optimism that will change as well and continue to build a strong economy. And I think you have to, you know, when you're thinking about the election next year with Joe Biden running for re-election, you know, people will always ask the questions, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? I think empirically and every data measure, you have to say yes right now.
And I think it's important that people remember that interest rates were kept unnaturally low
for years.
Yeah. I mean, a good decade. And that was also to try to encourage people to buy homes and to buy things. And now it's kind of the opposite. And as Dom mentioned as well, there was all that talk about recession. There's a looming recession. Well, we don't hear much about that anymore.
Yeah, perhaps a soft landing. Time will tell.
And two, I think high prices, absolutely, that's still an issue. But I don't think you can blame that on the administration. I think we need to look at egg producers, chicken producers, and the four companies that basically own everything in our entire country, and they can raise prices because they can.
And the fact that inflation here is lower than most of the developed world.
Absolutely.
I think that is an important context for that as well.
Absolutely.
And just on that point, when we talk about the national debt increase, and a big chunk of that national debt increase is because the cost of the debt, inflation has gone up. So the state, our country, pays higher interest rates on the debt that we issue, which of course ends up costing us more in interest.
We're going to a break. We will be right back with Dan Schaefer and continue recombobulating. Stay with us. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tap.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 59 degrees.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates.
Weekday afternoons.
Yeah! Get up!
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matner in for Kristen Bry. Craig Bach is on the board. Dominic Salvia in studio with us. And we're joined by the founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer. You can always listen on the radio. You can listen on the stream. You can watch us on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. You never know what kind of chair dance moves you're going to see.
Never.
You never know. So who's going to break out into an... you know, an interpretive dance of some kind. So,
especially with that Recombobulation Area intro music, Jane, everybody in the world is talking about. They love it. They can't get enough.
As they should. Thank you for that. We're going to move on, Dan. And you just shared this article about, the Republicans are having a tough time finding someone to run against our Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Yeah, it is late October. The year before the election, and there are still no main candidates, no big name candidates running against Tammy Baldwin in their Republican race. It's starting to get a little weird. And the story from NBC News looked at, you know, the fact that the kind of the two potential candidates that might be running here are Eric Hovde, who ran in 2012 and lost in the primary to Tommy Thompson, and Scott Meyer, who's a complete political newcomer, outsider, a CEO of a company based in Franklin, Wisconsin. Not exactly some heavy hitters coming to run against Tammy Baldwin, who, 4 years ago won by a double digit margin. So it's strange times for the Wisconsin Republicans. That bench of theirs is not as deep as it once was.
Well, and isn't Hovde the guy who basically lives in California primarily?
Hovde is the guy who lives in California. I think he was the Wisconsin Democrats have pointed this out on a number of occasions, but he's like won, kind of like Chamber of Commerce types awards in the Laguna Beach area. If they're not going to run one rich guy from Connecticut, they're going to run a rich guy from California, I guess.
Well,
is that the strategy? It worked great for Tim Michaels.
Thank you.
I don't know if it's going to work great for Eric Hovde here.
I was just going to say that too. I think Wisconsinites are on to that now, and we don't want some carpetbagger coming in from out of state whose kids have never attended our schools, our public schools, coming in and saying, I know what's best for you because I'm really rich.
I wonder how much of this is also a reflection of the angst that some of the Republican Party is obviously going through. If you're looking for rich candidates that can help self-fund their own candidacy, are they concerned about raising the money? I mean, Ron Johnson, very wealthy man. If you look at, obviously Michaels has mentioned wealthy man. Is that what this comes down to, Dan? And they need someone who has maybe a little name recognition, but a big checkbook?
A big bankroll.
Yeah, maybe they're doing such a bad job in fundraising with the Wisconsin GOP that they need somebody to carry them through here. Maybe that says something about where they are. I think they've also this piece didn't really get into it either. But like one of the names that has been mentioned as a potential Senate candidate is former Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark. I think that would be a big disaster. But I think, Mark Belling, who occasionally has some insight on this, wrote a column about this not too long ago, talking about the civil war brewing in Wisconsin Republican politics, where you're having he said he doesn't think Sheriff Clark's going to run. But he also said that he thinks the Walker Clayfish camp is starting to back Scott Meyer, and some of the Tim Michaels type of camp is backing Eric Hovde, heading towards another divisive potential primary. And I think it's interesting to think about the timing of the primary for that Senate race, because that will be in August after the RNC is in Milwaukee. So just a lot of weird, you know, pitfalls happening with this race for Republicans here.
I just have something to say here. When you say Walker Clayfish, you mean people who voted for them, not like these two are starting to like, because they're both losers. Who cares what they think?
People who would be typical, who have been, you know, aligned with each of those campaigns in the past.
Thank you for clearing that up for me.
Dan Schaefer is our guest from the recombobulation area. We just have just a couple of more minutes left. What happened to Mike Gallagher? I thought Gallagher was a serious contendee potentially.
I don't know. Maybe he's afraid of going up against Tammy. She's a pretty formidable candidate. Yeah. I think that's part of it too, is that she's a really strong candidate, has done really well in Wisconsin. She beat Tommy Thompson and then came back and won re-election by a double-digit margin. You know, just this week, she was part of the announcement that the Milwaukee, Waukesha, Madison area is getting this designation as a regional tech hub, which could bring tens of millions of dollars in new investment to the state of Wisconsin through the CHIPS and Science Act. Like, that is something that, you know, Hovde and Meyer and all these Republicans were very much against. So I think she does so many of these little things, getting into the weeds, bringing federal dollars back to Wisconsin. She's at these press conferences all the time. It's, you know, she does enough to make up for two senators, which is good because you don't really have another one.
She could run for double senator. Just run against Ron Johnson, double senator.
I like to make the joke that she's Wisconsin's only senator.
There you go. Who actually gets stuff done. I would just like David Clark to run so someone can point out to him, you're not a sheriff anymore.
America's sheriff.
You're also not a cowboy.
You don't get to call yourself Sheriff David Clark when you're no longer sheriffing.
Also, we know you color your beard. It's obvious. It's weird.
That just seems like such a... You don't get to hang on to titles like that.
Well, come on. Ask Trump. He's still the president.
No, he's not.
But Dan, if I may, real quick, obviously we see the troubles and the challenges that the MAGA Republicans are having in the House right now, trying to pick a new speaker. And I think perhaps to Belling's point, you know, that just doesn't happen on a national level. That's boiling down to the state level as well. And I think there's a lot of disarray in the Republican Party, as evidenced by the leadership problem. And of course, locally here, no one running against Tammy Baldwin yet.
And look at the primary between Dan Kelly and Jennifer Doro. Look at the primary between Rebecca Clayfish and Tim Michaels. This party in Wisconsin is super divided right now. And it's going to be interesting to see who they latch on to for the next year here.
Oh, we just have to embrace the disarray. Just embrace it. Speaking of embracing the disarray, more disarray as related to Donald Trump's ongoing legal problems. We'll have more details about that after the 11 o'clock news. Dan Schaefer, always love having you on with us on Tuesdays. Check out the recombobulation area and subscribe and stay with us. We will be right back. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. We are on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Thanks, Dan.
Tapped in to the issues affecting the Valley and all of Wisconsin.
Consider us the bartenders of friendly local talk.
This is 93.5 The Tap. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.